Heavenly Father, we worship you this morning. We thank you for this beautiful day. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad even in it, even in your presence. My Father, my God, as I go into your word this morning, I humble myself under your mighty hand. Lord, I strip myself of every confidence that I yet have in my own knowledge or ability to teach as an oracle of God. I duck under covering. I ask that the same covering will enable me to teach, to preach, to minister as an oracle of God. As the word goes forth, it will break yokes in our lives, set men free, not for price, not for reward, in the name of Jesus Christ. As the word goes forth, Lord, it will go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, also in the comfort and love of the Lord, because in our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlightened by revelation knowledge, and our emotions to further controlled, even by the power of the Spirit of the Spirit. As I speak this day, I ask for grace to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. Help me to bring out of the treasure of your world things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' name. Lord, Holy Spirit, I set up my right hand. I trust you for help and for wisdom, Lord, to teach you today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank God for his mercy, like I said earlier on, and this privilege that I have under covering the book of 1 Timothy for some time now. And 1 Timothy chapter 3 in particular, we're talking about the qualifications for becoming or being ordained as a bishop or a deacon. And in summary, I'll just summarize, we'll do a brief recap. We're in verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, the last time we spoke. And I said something. I said, there's God's responsibility and man's responsibility. I will spend some time. I'm trusting that I will finish today. We'll be talking about man's responsibility. That is not only God's responsibility to call a man into the ministry office or to become a deacon, but there's also responsibility that you and I, whoever has been called into the ministry, must carry out in order to qualify and to fulfill the ministry. You know, Paul said something, I have finished my course, I have finished the ministry that God has given us. It is important. And I discovered that it is this personal responsibility to fulfill that ministry. There's no problem with God. God will give you grace, will give you anointing and everything. But see, there's a responsibility on man to fulfill what God has called him to do. And that's what we've been talking about for quite some time now. We're in verse 8 the last time. Let's just read for a brief recap. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy or filthy lucre. If you read, say likewise. That likewise means there that the same applications or conditions that were mentioned from verses 1 to 6, talking about the bishop, also applies to the deacon. You see, in the church world, we think of deacons as people that are not spiritual. You know, or that's why the people ordain people into the office of a deacon, without following this criteria. But Paul says, likewise means in the same way. All these conditions I've been mentioning about the bishop, they apply to a deacon. And we said the last time that the only difference between becoming a bishop, just talking about the conditions now, and a deacon, is in the ability to teach. It says in verse 2, it says a bishop must be apt to teach. Not that a deacon cannot teach, but a deacon is not called into the public ministry or fivefold ministry of public teaching, like, apostle, prophet, evangelist, and teacher. No. That does not mean, however, that I cannot grow into that ministry. But if you are in the office of a deacon, you are not called to the public ministry of teaching at that time. It's very important. That's how, if you read through those conditions and the criteria, that's the only difference that Paul puts there. If you go through, he said a bishop must be apt to teach. And doesn't talk about teaching concerning a deacon. But that does not mean that a deacon cannot teach. But you see, there are five ministry offices. You know, the apostle, the evangelist, the teacher, the pastor, and the prophet. You know. So those are the offices. So you don't find a deacon there in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe, or 3. So praise the Lord. So and we defined what it means to be a deacon. I use the dictionary definition, which I believe is very, very okay. So a deacon is a designated minister of charity. Charity there is not talking about agape. You know, it's talking about, the book of Acts paints that picture clearly. When I was talking about, when there was a contention and argument about how to distribute goods and all those things. And that's the first place we see the word deacon used, that they call them, say, look for people, of honest report who are full of the Holy Ghost, and they ordain deacons. So a ministry is the ministry of help. They serve, they serve tables. So it's not wrong to serve tables. God appreciates people that do that. And we said that the other definition that I mentioned the other time about that, a deacon is one who assists the pastor. Say a deacon is one who assists the pastor. So that means the Bible says that he must have the same vision of a set man. But they can't walk with that except they be agreed. So a deacon is not, or a deacon board do not dictate what the pastor does. It is wrong. I follow you mean? So we talked about that at length. And I also read from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. You know, about when they ordained the first set of deacons in the Bible. And we gave the example of Joshua. Even though the Bible did not call him a deacon, but you see, he was serving Moses in the office of a deacon. The Bible didn't call him a deacon, he was a servant. And we looked at length and how Joshua grew, you know, gradually and became the next leader that was leading them to the promised land. So you see, being a deacon doesn't mean that you have arrived. Like we said earlier when we began to teach this class, that the ultimate purpose of every Christian is to become more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is about destiny. So you must have that at the back of our mind. So we find that either you're a deacon or you're a bishop, once you make becoming conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ your goal, you are going to pass through those offices at one time or the other, and you experience those different anointings as long as you keep growing. So our focus, like Pastor has said over and over, is that our focus must be on being conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ, and we should not be cumbered about with, oh God, what mission have I been called to? Have I been called to a prophet? No, don't let that one distract you. It's a distraction. Just be faithful in growing up spiritually, and you pass through all those anointings. And I said something very important. I repeat again. I mentioned it earlier on. I said, being a deacon, it is not an office, not the office for carnal Christians. The fact that you are serving tables does not mean you should be carnal. That's why I said, likewise, the same conditions apply to deacons. Praise the Lord. And we read from the book of Acts, where it says that they must be of honest report, must be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So, is a carnal Christian very likely will not be of honest report because the flesh will be ruling him. And then he must be full of wisdom. So, when you see that word wisdom, it says God only gives wisdom to the lowly. So, they must be very humble people, which is the fruit of the Spirit in character, meek and lowly in heart. Praise the Lord. So, it's not for carnal people. So, today we are going to move on and we'll move to verse 9. Praise the Lord. Let's all read together. Verse 9. What does it say? Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Let's read together again. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. You can't hold what you don't have. What is the mystery of the faith? We need to know. You can already see now, he's talking about deacons. So if he's saying this to deacons, how much more the bishop? I follow what I'm trying to say. So it's not an office for carnal Christians. Those that just want to be matter. They don't have a spiritual ambition. No. He said the deacons must hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. What is the mystery of the faith? We all know it. Colossians chapter 1 verse 26. But let us read again, because there are some people that are probably watching for the first time and may not know. What does it say? Even the mystery which had been what? Hid from ages, from generations, but what? Now is made manifest to his saints. He says that our mystery has been hid from ages, from generations, but God is now revealing it. Listen, when I was studying this, I saw something that struck me here, and I will mention it. He says, but now it's made manifest to his saints. So it's not only for the bishop or the deacon. Every saint must have a revelation knowledge of the mystery of the gospel. And God will not say what he's not planning to do. He's not a man to lie, not a son of man to pray. If you don't have it, that means you don't have the willingness to get it. But says, if any man will do his will, then shall he know. So he didn't say the bishops. He said he manifests to his saints. And the way we get it is from apostolic teaching and prophetic ministries. That's what Paul did. What is that mystery? Next verse. It's so clear. It's so simple. Then you begin to wonder, why is the church wandering in the wilderness? Going about every day saying that your goal is to go to heaven. Something as clear as this. He said that mystery is being revealed to the saints. Aren't you all saints? Once you are born again, watch my brother, you are a saint. So we all say, to whom? To all the saints we are talking about. God will make what? Known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Among what? The Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's start together. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's so much passion that burns in me when I go through the scriptures. It's as if I'm pregnant. There's no other gospel you want to preach apart from this. Everything you preach must dovetail to this. That is God's end time purpose for his church. Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. And it goes on to say, warning every man, teaching every man, that we might present every man perfect in Christ. We don't need to go there because of time. We want the scripture. So that is the mystery of the Greek gospel. That the deacons, the bishops, and all saints must hold. Everybody must have it though. It's not only for the pastor that is preaching though. It's not only for the deacons though. It's for every saint, both young and old. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. So deacons, what are we saying? Let me simplify. Deacons, we are talking about deacons now, but applies to every saint. Agreed alone. Deacons must have revelation knowledge of perfection, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is not Pastor Luby's doctrine, the pastor and mommy's doctrine. It is God's doctrine. And it must be preached throughout the entire earth. So don't think you are the only one supposed to be any. We are privileged to hear about these things. Bible talks about say the things that angels desire to sing to. They come every morning. Come and listen to what Pastor Mama will teach us again about this mystery, this secret. God has kept it and begin to reveal it. And he wants everybody, saints, deacons, and bishops, to have that hope of God's calling. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Verse 10. Put in the Amplified. So a deacon must have it. It says that he must hold that mystery in a pure conscience. What does he mean by that? That is, there must not be any doubt about the possibility of being conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ in his heart. Whereas he should not be somebody. Bible talked about Abraham. Instead, he said he staggered not at the promise of God at in unbelief. As a saint, as a deacon, and as a bishop, you should not stagger at that promise in unbelief. He must hold it. But says, hold fast to that which you have, so that no man takes your crown. If you don't hold fast to that which you have, that crown there is talking about the crown of glory. That is the end point when you fulfill that calling. I follow him. He says, stagger not that promise God through unbelief. He said, was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So when you look at that promise, the hope of his calling, you should not be staggering. Even though you fall 7 times, I say, how can you be perfect? You just got angry. Say, no. It is not by might. It is not by power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. You should not stagger because of circumstances. Like Abraham did not stagger. He said, look at his own body. His body was dead. So that's whom? Dead. He said, but he kept looking at that promise. And surely as God brought that promise to pass in life of Abraham, it will bring it to pass in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. So we must hold it in a pure conscience. No unbelief. It must not water it down. We can't water this message down. God is not a man to lie, neither the Son of Man to repent. He has said that we are going to carry the same glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot lie. Let me tell you something, folks. God will never say what he cannot do. If he can't do it, he will keep quiet. Because there is a generation of people there that will hold God to us. He said, bring forth your strong regions. Put me in remembrance of my promises. Verse 10, Amplified. Verse 10, Amplified. Let's continue to read. We are talking about deacons here, but it applies to everybody. So don't limit to deacons. It applies to everybody. All saints. It says, and let them also be tried. Say tried. And investigated. And proved first. Then, if they turn out to be above reproach, let them serve as deacons. What are we saying here for God's sake? The Bible says that try them. I'm deliberately shouting today. Try them. Hey, don't want to. In the natural, if you're going to get married in our culture here, although things are changing now, people get married and go to the internet and all kind of crazy stuff. And they end up with a bigger problem. Before they marry, they go and look at the family. Whether they have a mental problem. Why? Because you know, if you enter the wrong home, that is the end. So if you can do that in the natural to get the best, how much more in the house of God, the pillar and the ground of truth? But let's try them. He says, investigate, find out. Don't just ordain somebody that comes to church for the first time as a deacon because he has money. Let's try them, investigate, and prove them.
Put tests there. Test them. All kinds of tests. Put it to them. So many people can come today, they enter the church, they've not spent 1 or 2 years, you break them a chicken. The same set of people will bring division to the church. And then you are wondering why you have church splits all over the nation. They were not right. If the Lord Jesus Christ had to, he prayed all night to choose them. But before he prayed all night, they had been following him, serving also in the place of a deacon. And with the master without the signature, somehow Judas found himself inside. How much more you and I? Says, tried them. Let's look at that. Say, tried, investigated, proved first, and then if they turn to be above reproach, let them serve. Some of them are just coming into the, from the world. They have baggages. Some of them, they won't come and tell you that they are married or he has another wife somewhere. He will pretend, come with the present wife. If they are four somewhere in New York, then he will say so, so and so. That's the latest one, he's just married. Then you lay your hands on him and you make him a deacon. Then you will be, people will now begin to blaspheme because he's going to come publicly and announce that he's a deacon so, so and so church. They will say, what kind of church is this? I know him. He's having an affair with his secretary. They begin to blaspheme the name of God. They try them, investigate, find out. Don't be presumptuous. That is why Paul says something in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 22. Help me, Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 22. Let's look at it. Lay hands. He was warning Timothy and he's warning every pastor today. Say, lay hands suddenly on no man or woman. Neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. That means if you lay hands suddenly on the wrong person, there's a transference of the same wahala. It will come to you. Say, lay hands suddenly on no man. None of you partake of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Let's keep verse 23. You're not number one today. Verse 24. Because it's the same discourse. 24. Say, some men's sins. This is good. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. You don't want to partake of another man's judgment, though. And some men, they follow after. So because some men's sins are evident as you see them. Are you getting me? But some are not evident. Bible says, don't be in a hurry to lay hands. Try them. Wait. Prove them. Put all kinds of tests in their circumstances. Test them. Give them money to buy something for the church. See how they will do it. You won't let them know. Are they accountable? Do they come to church? Do they come and pray? Do they have a mission? You listen to them and say, like, out of the abundance of their demand speaks. When they begin to talk, are they talking about just service, 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 service? No revelation, knowledge? Say, prove them. Don't be in a hurry. Listen to them. Because of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 25. 25. Help me, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Likewise, also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. But see, it's going to take patience to see it. Time and patience is the fruit of the Spirit. Satan does not have it. He that believeth shall not make haste. It is better to have a church without any deacon than to have deacons that don't qualify. They cause problem, division. The moment they complain, you see later on, the ones that begin to gossip, you don't even know how much they are spending again. I don't know why this is not around. Carnality starts dictating them. They forget that they have been called to assist the pastor. When everybody was complaining about Moses, and Moses married an Egyptian woman, notice that Joshua was not there. That's a faithful deacon. Minding his own business. Samuel is another example that just comes to my heart. When Eli's children were misbehaving all over the place, Samuel was a faithful deacon. He did not say anything. He just kept on doing what God has called him to do. And probably, I'm sure, he must have been praying for them, believing God that the children have been turned around. Praise the Lord. Verse 11 in Amplified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm grateful. Please help me to continue. And amplify. Then, women, likewise, let's read that. Then, the women, likewise, must be worthy of respect and serious, not gossipers, but temperate and self-controlled, thoroughly trustworthy in all things. In the KJV, it says that they are wives. But over here, it says women. That means women too can be deacons, of course. In Christ, there are no male or female. Once she fulfills the criteria, she qualifies. Are you following me? So it says that, likewise, if you say, okay, fine, thank you. It says, bears must be grave, not slander, sober, faithful. All of this can be summed up in the fruit of the Spirit, the character of God. Put it back in the Amplified. And these are spiritual forces that you cannot pretend to have. It will crumble under pressure. Are you following me? So say the women likewise must be worthy of respect. They must command respect in their home. Look at how they take care of their children. You know somebody coming to, I'm just giving an example, children's church and shouting upon the children and can't shout upon his own children at home. Nonsense and rubbish. Charity, they say, begins at home. He says, respect and be serious. Serious Christians. Jim. Don't be ashamed to be a Jim Christian. Don't be ashamed to come and pray. So was serious. Not gossipers. So you can see now it's carnality. So it's not the office for a carnal Christian. But temperate and self-controlled, thoroughly and trustworthy. Nothing must be faithful. It must be somebody you can trust. With the finances of a church, with whatever. Can you imagine when they called them to come and be deacons? They were serving tables. 7 or so of them. Can you imagine if they were not trustworthy? That's how they gave the criteria. He said they must be honest of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Because if you are not full of the Holy Ghost, you can't do it. Your flesh will control you. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So it's not something that does not pray. Building up yourself in the muscle, they pray in the Holy Ghost. It's not for people that don't pray. If they didn't pray, you know what they would have done? They would have packed that food and probably give more to his own children than to other people. Or go and sell it. It happens in the church today. It happens in the church today. Commit something to them. They will divert it the way our politicians behave. God is having mercy on them. That's why the criteria is very... You know, like when they selected the 7, all the murmuring stopped. That means they were faithful. They were full of... Why? Because why don't we just obey what God says? And then instead of suffering the heartache after, because the person is nice to you, then you put him where he cannot occupy. Said, put not a novice in the place of authority, both natural and spiritual. He's going to bring shame to his father and mother. A lot of things happen in the church today. So-called deacons. He must be faithful. He must be a serious Christian. Praise the Lord. Worthy of respect. Praise the Lord. Temperate. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Just to put a point behind what I'm saying. Deacons are not supposed to be carnal. Also notice, don't say, okay, I'm not yet a deacon. Even saints have to be carnal. That's why covering is important. Covering will help you while you are learning the principles of to pray and to walk in the Spirit. It will help you. We'll cover those things. But after some time, God will come to begin to make a demand on you. He'll begin to withdraw that covering a bit to show you how much of the character of Christ you have developed. So there is no hiding place for the rebellious under covering. Believe me. What is it? Where no wood is, there what? The fire goeth out. So where there is no tale bearer, the strife ceases. Does God care for wood? Paul says that in the great house there are many vessels. Serve to honor. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about it. He says that, he said, if any man build gold, silver, wood, hay, stubble. So he's talking about Christians. The way you know you are carnal is this. If you are a tail bearer, always in strife, envious. I'm not talking about when it happens occasionally, it really bounce back because of a sin nature. When it's your lifestyle, you are carnal. When there is division, you are the one right behind it. When you see pride, then strife is there. As well as there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every work. So if you make a deacon, who is wood? It's going to bring envy, it's going to bring strife, and good confusion to the church. That will not be our portion of Jesus. We're going to be faithful to develop the character of Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. So let's verse 12. Verse 12 in Amplified. Okay, what does it say? Lady Dickens, let's say together, Lady Dickens, be the husbands of but one wife, and let them manage their children and their own households well. Same thing talk mentioned about bishops. No difference. So you can't say, okay, I'm not a bishop, so I can allow my children to run riot all over the place. Nonsense and rubbish. You just disqualified yourself. In the KJV, it says that you must learn to rule his own family. Well, not just rule, well. Put them into subjection. Wakes up one day and he says that, I heard that daddy, Beyonce is coming to Nigeria, Lady Gaga. I want to go. You are not going. Sit down. You must shout on him or her. Sit down, oh Lord. My duty me. Is that serious, oh? Is that serious, oh? I said that deliberately. I don't hate them. I don't even know them. In our days, it was fella we used to listen to. And I know what used to happen when we went there. I know the kind of girls that used to come there. I know the kind of prayer that allowed them to go there. Some even drop them there. And they start pulling them around like a lamb led for the slaughter. Ije. So you can imagine, bro, do you know that our Christians that long for those things? If they come today to Nigeria, they want to go. See, I'm following her on the face, say face mask, face chat. I don't know, you know me. Say FaceTime, I'll be whatever, or Facebook. Gaga, Lady Gaga, call Uncle Gagani. Yes, there are some Christians that long for it. The Bible is very clear. We know we talked about Dinah the other day. Dinah left where she was supposed to be. And she went to go and visit the people of the East country. And that was where she was raped. And I told you by the grace of God that problem was not so much as Dinah, but Jacob. He had put his foot down. This before I want you back in this house before 7 o'clock. For 6 o'clock. Where are you going to? You guys, you don't understand though. If you understand how serious God takes this thing, there will not be a tolerating nonsense with our children. They have to run off. I'm not saying that they shouldn't go for parties, but you check. You just, you know, Bible said God will appear in his temple suddenly. You just go to the hall. You won't tell them. Just appear. What is the problem? I just came to see her. How are you? She will not tell that she's waiting for extra lessons. She's already gone for a party. You know why I'm talking about these things? Because we used to do it when I was in university. And the sad thing that was, they were born again Christians. They were doing it. They will be so stupid and foolish. I said, I go to witness to him. Peter, he's going to get born again. You are very stupid. If you think like that. Get born again, Kini. Your flesh is moving you. Say, he's going to get born again. Don't condemn anybody. Why can't you just pray and leave it like that? Say, you follow him to the party. Start taking your hand like a lamb for the slaughter. We're going to see by the time we finish what God is talking about. These are things that we need to preach. Bible, well, put it in the Bible and talk about Philip. Four sons, daughters. Virgins, the Bible says. Why did God put it there? I'm not saying if you stumble, God will forgive. That's grace. No, don't be under condemnation. Whoever is listening to this message. What I'm saying is, have we continued seeing that grace, my born? God forbid. Parents, stand your ground. Stand your ground because that is your future. Bible said, the spirit shall be upon you, upon your seed, on the fourth generation. We are in the end time generation. You cannot allow your children to run riot. You cannot. Put your foot down. Check. Don't be afraid. Don't let them intimidate you. You've been on this thing, this so-called FaceTime, whatever. Who are you talking to? If you bring somebody to the house, find out. Not this funny guy, somebody did shuku. Yes, God begins to show you things, you know, and the external, and then you keep quiet. I don't want anything. No, you know, this is a different generation. Who told that generation is different? Has the Bible changed? You know why I'm saying this morning? It's very important because we are in the end time, and this generation, they must cut the tape, and they will in the name of Jesus Christ. We must do everything down. Let them hate you now. I'm going to love you later. When they carry through that measure. Praise the Lord. So we look at the example of ruling the house well. So the owner's responsibility is on the parents. Not just the physical aspect I've been talking about. But through prayer. You will have subdued that mind. You make sure he reads his Bible every morning. You make sure he has done a lot of confessions. Not that he was locking himself. Say, oh yeah, sit down. Tired or whatever your name is. Boy or girl. Oh yeah, let's take these confessions together. Let me give you an example that comes to my hand. I'm just going through this in the morning. Can I take him? Papa Egan, late Papa Egan, when his son was about 12, he used to go and swim. And then he had problems in his the son. The one that is in charge of ministry now. And words or something used to grow in his ear. And he prayed, the thing left. Then when they go and swim again, the thing will come back like fungal growth or something. And then Papa again wanted to pray. And God said, don't pray for him. The boy was about 12 years old. 12 or so, or 15. And God said, don't pray for him. He said, by this reason of time, let him use his faith. I'm telling you a fact. I can't remember the book. So he went to his son and said, oh yeah, son, sit down. I'm going to join my faith with your faith. So you pray. Can you imagine if this boy had been going to watch Lady Gaga? ATRD. And God will not. God said no. He said no. By reason of time. He's been under this faith message for so long. At the age of 12 or so, I can't remember the age, but he was young. It's a test. So now let us see what we are putting in. Whether he has been walking in the footsteps of his father or not. We are talking business here, folks. Where is Moses? What happened to Geshem and Moses' son? What happened to them? When their mom, when God says, circumcise the children, put in the spiritual, circumcision of the heart. And was delaying to do it. And what happened? God was going to kill him because he did not. Because of his wife. His wife was not a Jew or Midian. So you don't believe in circumcision. That's why when he circumcised, he took a stone, Zipporah, took a stone and quickly cut the foreskin. Who told him that the reason why God wanted to kill the husband was because of that? Sometimes they've had the argument before. Say, if I want more, it's too painful. That was spared Moses. He would have died without entering the office of a bishop. It's serious business, though. When God gives you a child, he has committed someone into your hands, made the image and the likeness of God, and you give an account. Let's leave it like that. Verse 13. It says that those, let's just get a, those in KJV, please. Those. Said, for those that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good decree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. What is he saying? Let me just summarize because of time. If you use that, he's saying that being a deacon is not the end. If you use it properly, you are set for promotion in the kingdom. That's what he's trying to say in summary. You're not buying a degree. You can't buy anything from God. I follow him. So say boldness in the faith. And the best example. What is the principle which is stands? Luke chapter 16, verse 11. Lord, help me to redeem this hand. Luke 16, 11. Help me. Luke 16, 11, please. It says, and he said also unto his disciples, Luke 16, 11 says, if therefore, you have been faithful in your righteous mammon, if therefore you have not been faithful in your righteous mammon, who will commit to you, trust your trust, the true riches. That means if you have not been faithful in serving as a deacon, in the context of what we're talking about, we think God will come and give you the true riches of the kingdom. But the other side is that if you are faithful, God will promote you. That's what he's saying. God is no respecter of persons. God did not like Joshua more than he likes Eleazar and Geshem. God is not partial. He's not. And he's no respecter of persons. You need to understand that. And transfer what you have by faith to your child that Papa again did. He wasn't looking for a replacement by the time the man was going to die. His son was already standing in the place. Ready. And nobody could contest it because they can see that. He said, spirit on this Baba is on this son. He did not put him there because he was the owner of Rema Bible Church. No. Like some people do. The man qualified. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? Help me respond. The example I'll give us to Philip. I begin to run on. Philip. Philip, I wrote here, was a deacon, as we all know, in Acts 6:5. And was faithful in the unrighteous mammon. in distributing food to the necessity of the saints, what they were called to do. And he kept on doing it. Like I said, it was full of Holy Ghost. You can't do it with grow. If they give you food to serve people and you don't keep your flesh under, you will take an extra portion home. I know what will happen. Like God told them, I said, don't take anything extra. It will breed worms. What I mean by that is not like we may all breed worms. You can put it in the fridge. You can eat it in one day. Because you have not been faithful. You're not supposed to take extra. Because the extra you take will not have been given to somebody. That's why God put you there. To serve. So you see, you can't do these things by gra-gra. You must pray. Kill that flesh. Kill. Like Pastor Kuni was preaching last Sunday. Kill the flesh. Mortify. Kill that greed. That covetousness. No. I've had enough. It's for the people. Even when it comes to prayer, it's not enough. Then you give your own out. You are not becoming a faithful deacon. Help me, Holy Spirit. So, Philip was faithful in the righteous manner, and he became an evangelist at the end of the day. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Help me, Holy Spirit. I begin to round up. And then, Philip, the deacon, went down to the city of Samaria and preached unto Christ unto them. He's beginning to move in the office of an evangelist. He picked 7. Out of 7, 1 died, unfortunately. Look at Philip. Is it that God didn't want the other guys to move by the Spirit to Samaria? No! They were content with serving tables. They felt, now that I'm a deacon, probably printed tags and went around. Deacon, diaconi, you know how we behave in Nigeria. And they're walking around the place, I'm a deacon, English God pastor. I trust pastor. You don't even smell it. He said, when he answered, man, preach Christ unto them, help me, Holy Spirit, redeem time. Verse 6. You can see Philip Dickner. He said, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Verse 26. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of men that were possessed with them, and men taken with the palsies, and they were lame and were healed. Verse 39. 39. And when they were come up out of the water, talk about the Ethiopian eunuch. Can you imagine? God honored this man to be the first person to preach to an African. That was where the first seed was sown, as far as you can recognize in the Bible. Beyond the verse of Ethiopia. And a message for another day. And said, and the Spirit of the Lord cut away Philip that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Verse 40. That's why he start here. Our Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's keep reading. Acts 21, verse 8. Look at the life of God can do with a man that is faithful and honest. Just by serving tables. Papa gave one of his books that just Christ taught him. He said that if you notice, Philip had a peculiar anointing. It's not just lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He had an anointing for those that had palsies. If you look at it, you know that there are peculiar anointings. He said, Papa talked about gifts of healings. Some will have, like Papa again, for cancer. Some will have just for those that are blind. Some like F.F. Bosworth. Some have for those that are deaf. If you are deaf, they bring you to them. Don't forget, it's your banker. As long as you trust that the anointing of them, you'll be healed. That God gave this man. They have this anointing for those that had palsies. Look at how God honored him. Because he honored God from serving tables. And he kept the faith. He held on to the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. And God was able to increase him in the kingdom. Acts 21, verse 8 says, and the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, no more a deacon, which was one of the 7, and abode with them. Why did God say 7? To remind you, 7 Lamamu is the only one that is in a place that God had positioned for the man of God that was coming to Caesarea. You think it was when Paul was going to go to Caesarea that God said, hey, just there, Philip, quickly? No. They have been part of destiny, and the man fulfilled it. Verse 9. Help me. Ah, Jesus, you know me. 9. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins with it, prophesy. Virgins there means that they were not married. Fine. But not only that, virgins means that they were pure. In those days, when people misbehaved, they stoned them. That was why when Joseph discovered that Mary was pregnant, so he was trying to put her away privately, that he would not kill her. Now, grace is available. I'm not saying that God does not forgive. No. People stumble. God will forgive and help. But see, it is better if you don't go that way. Why will God put it there? Why? Why? For generations to see, it's eternal. So they had four virgins. The prophet is God talking about the purity of his daughters that prophesy. That means their prophecy must have been pure, not tainted with sin. So, please, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just trying to say, let's get serious. If you stumble along those, whatever line, doesn't matter. Ask God forgiveness, buck up and move on. That people have stumbled, have still fulfilled their destiny. But we're just saying that, look, this is the best. So you can keep yourself pure and bring honor to your parents and God. Verse 14. I need to round up. Help me, Holy Spirit. Paul, in verse 14, I'm just reminding, he began to express his desire to come to them. Are you following me? Verse 15. He now began to talk about the conduct of God in the house of conduct of Christian house of God. He talks about, he says that the church of God, he says that if I tarry long, that you may know how thou hast to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of God, of living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. That means there is a way you must conduct yourself in the house of God. Amongst ourselves. I'm not talking about the physical structure now. You don't misbehave. And the best way I can summarize is that the church of God, the pillar. Pillar means support and stay of truth. It says the ground of truth. That is, the church is supposed to be the foundation on which truth rests. So if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Psalm 89 verse 7. Ah, Jesus, I want to try to round up this thing. What does it say? It says, God is greatly to be feared. In what? In the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of them that are about him. So you don't come to church with a gay leg. Why is God saying these things? Not to make us afraid, but to honor the Lord. Because when the glory appears, God did not, he had been teaching them, but Ananias and Sapphira thought it was still business as usual. And you know what happened? That will not be a portion in Joseph. How about God's parents? You're coming to church, you are fired up. You are praying in tongues. You've confessed your sins before they come and talk about it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry, oh, please. Yes. He says that Hebrews, he said, how shall we escape? New Testament. He said, for our God is a consuming fire. These are scriptures you can't hide from. Also, there is love, there is mercy. But it's given to the honest. So what are we saying? Somebody be honest. Ask God to help. He will help. He's compassionate. Now verse 16. It says, without controversy, and without controversy, great is the mystery of what? Godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. That talks about Lord Jesus Christ. What is that mystery? God was manifest in the flesh. The Bible says that the word became flesh. So he said, without any controversy, there is no argument, no debate. He was manifest in the flesh. Everybody saw. He said, we beheld him as the only begotten of his Father at that time. Now, the question is this. I don't have time to go. I'm just round up. He said he was seen of angels, justified in the spirit when he was resurrected. Presently, there is a controversy concerning Zion. What is that controversy? The controversy is that Christ is yet to be made manifest in the flesh. And God wants to settle that controversy. The same way he settled that controversy that we just read. He said, without controversy, everybody saw it. He said that God was manifest in the flesh that time. Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and is up in glory. So right now, there's a controversy in the church about whether perfection is possible or not. About whether it is possible for you to manifest the life of God in your flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10, 11. I don't have time to tell you. We have been delivered under that life of Christ, but may manifest in our mortal flesh. That is the summary. That pastor has broken down. I don't have time to turn there because I want to round up today. So God, you say, why? I say, why? I say, why is there a controversy? He said, because Zion is here to give birth to Christ in the flesh. So it seems as if Zion is barren. single barren, that I did not give birth. Say, cry aloud, for many are the children of a barren than that of Isaiah 54. So what are we saying? But we are in the season in which God will settle all controversies concerning Zion. That's the only controversy. People are arguing today when they talk about perfection. Say, it's not possible. Christ can't come in the flesh. It's a doctrine of the devil. That's what 1 John says. Tell anybody that brings this doctrine that Christ did not come in the flesh, say, don't beat him good speed. Isaiah 34 verse 8. I will stop. I just want to finish this thing. 34 verse 8. Isaiah 34 verse 8 says, For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance. I don't have time to turn there. When that season, Jesus Christ fulfilled the first part, the assembly of the Lord. But and what? The year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Amplified says, for the cause of Zion. So God has set this time. It's a Kairos moment for Zion. Lord, the Bible says that in 1 John 3, 8, it says something. It says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. It takes pretty damn measure to do that in his fullness. John 18, 37. I'll read that and then we'll pray. Oh, God. John 18, 37. It says, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause, controversy of Zion, came I into the world that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heard my voice. So in summary, how will God do this? It's very, very simple. Thank you for praying that. You see, God is raising up another priesthood. The priesthood of Zadok. Go to Ezekiel chapter 44. You see, this shall stand to settle controversies. Who is the son of Zadok? It's those that operate the priesthood of Melchizedek, that pray like he prays. They are the ones that God will use, you and I, to settle that controversy that is raging in the body of Christ today. That over half of the church believe that their destiny is to die and go to heaven. Then why haven't we gone in all these days, which have led the church astray? Do this need oriented, entertainment-based gospel that we see? That is the only reason why the age has not closed. The sons of Zadok must manifest. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for covering. Talk to the Lord. I'm grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Holy Spirit. Talk to God. Ask for mercy. Ask for grace. Let no one be under condemnation. But let's just get serious with our spiritual growth. Obviously, this is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Something is about to break forth in the church that I've never seen before. And God, like a natural father, who wants all his children to partake of it. That's why he's bringing these messages to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. So every quicker place will miss you, rough place will miss you, valleys will be filled. So when the glory of God shall come, we'll be on the right side. And everybody will carry that same glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything,
Lord, you are everything to me. Everything, Lord, you are everything to me.
My treasure,
my priority, none can compare to you. Great is the measure of your royalty, O morning star, you true.
Let's respond to the Lord. Let's move one out on our hearts as we taught. And raise up the other hand to heaven now covering. It is not by might, though. It's not by power, but by the Spirit of God. We need mercy, we need grace, we need covering. Let your confidence be in that aspect. Praise the Father. We confess our sins. So we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name, we have abundant life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word has come to me once again today, reminding me of the qualifications required of you to serve in any position in your church. I understand. I come to ask for mercy. I come to ask for grace afresh. That, Lord, by your mercy and grace, you will give me afresh and increasingly the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the present complete knowledge of you. That the eyes of my understanding be flooded with light. That I know better what is the hope of your calling upon my life. The riches of the glory of your inheritance in me as a saint. And what is the exceeding greatness of your resurrection power in Christ's reward as a saint. As we pray that by your mercy and your grace, you enable me to hold on to that mystery of the faith, which is in Christ, which is Christ in me, the hope of glory, with a pure conscience, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord.